You know, after the storm, did any of you feel like that weird?
Yeah. I had a strange tingling sensation in my anus. Didn't you say you wanted to piss on her tits? Probably best to keep that kind of thing between you and your internet service provider.
I fucking love y'all.
All right, so welcome to Is Misfits the Best? I'm Keith and this is Dan.
Hey, what's up?
So I had a short-lived podcast called Does Buffy Suck? So I thought to tie it in, I'd call this one Is Misfits the Best? Because they're both rhetorical questions, but you know.
It was damn good. I'll give it that.
Misfits is the shit. Yeah, so this is a podcast about the TV show Misfits where, yeah, I was just thinking back to shows that just whenever they come up in my mind, I'm like, oh yeah, I fucking loved that show. And there's not that many in the history of TV, but this is one of them. This show is so fucking good.
All right, so how'd you get introduced to Misfits?
So yeah, this is what's weird, is my memory of how I got into this show doesn't line up with what's on Wikipedia. So the show started in premiered in 2009, November 12, 2009. But in my memory, it was my roommate from when I lived in New York who just mentioned that this show was cool. And I thought I watched it in that apartment in New York, but I came back in 2009. Like, I would have been back here in Canada.
I'm pretty sure I told you about it.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. I don't know. I don't know. So it's all confused in my memory.
And it's weird because I got told about it by my friend Matt. And then I like binge watched the first season, and it's like, I think it's one of those shows where it was like, dude, you got to watch this.
But again, I guess it's weird because we're Canadian and this show's British. So it's hard to tell what's going on with it. Like, it's hard for us to even get it or to hear about it. It's weird. It's lucky that we ever heard about it. And that's part of what I think is weird about talking about this show is I can't figure out, again, because it's kind of British, like how popular was this or is this?
I do know that like in Canada, I know two people besides us that have watched it,
right?
And like both of them think it's the best shit ever.
Yeah, like everyone likes it. Everyone, and I've got it listed here, but like it won a bunch of awards and shit in England, so like maybe it was a big deal there. But I feel like nowadays I never hear people talk about it anymore.
Well, okay, like I don't expect anyone to know about it. I mention it to people and they're like, what are you talking about? Matt introduced me to it, and he, like I said, like I told you earlier, he was all about The Cheese Guy, which you're not going to hear about forever. The other day I mentioned, I was like, yeah, I got to record a podcast with my cousin about the Misfits. And this girl at work just lost her fucking marbles. She was like, oh my God, that show was so great. And everyone else is just looking at us. And I'm like, The Cheese Guy. And like, yeah, it's like, fucked up.
In my memory, even if this wasn't how I first heard about it, definitely my old roommate, his name was Newsy. He definitely at least brought it up at some point, because I think for him it was the music, where he's like, man, like British shows have the best music.
They do. They totally do.
Yeah, I think part of it too, I don't know for sure, but I think part of it is that their licensing rules, I think, are different. Like, it's cheaper for them to use real songs. Because, yeah, British shows in general just have like actual good music, and especially this show, tons of good music. But yeah, like you're saying with the sort of the cultness of it, like I was looking up images to make just a podcast image, and I went on like DeviantArt, and yeah, it's like
shit.
The people, once you figure out with, like, again, we'll talk about the title, but once you get into the Misfits stuff, it's like, yeah, people love it. And they're like, oh, I love this show. I miss it so much. But then I don't know. It's like, I also can't tell if this is just how things are now. Like, this is definitely a cult show, but kind of everything is a cult show. Like, the only things I can think of that, like, everybody watched are Game of Thrones. And I was thinking, like, you could argue Rick and Morty. That made a big enough impact that people know what it is.
Game of Thrones, Rick and Morty, Lost.
Yeah, and again, that's going way back. Like, Lost was, like,
Survivor.
Yeah, like, that's all stuff from, like ages ago. Like,
I don't know. I haven't watched actual television in, like, 15 years or so.
Yeah, me too. Like, I might just be out of the loop totally, but I just feel like, yeah, like Game of Thrones was the thing, and Breaking Bad, I guess, are like the shows everybody talked about, and since then, nothing. Yeah, and the title. I feel like the title did not do this show any favors because...
Well, you got the Misfits. You got Glenn Danzig's boys.
Yeah, that's the first thing I think of. And then the second thing I think of is Gem and the Holograms. I still don't think of this show, you know?
There's like a podcast now called The Misfits too that's like really popular.
Like, I don't know what I would have called this show, but I wouldn't have called it Misfits. It's just, it's hard to Google. It's not a good, you know?
I really don't know what I would have called it either.
Yeah.
It does fit the series. However, like... Yeah, it doesn't make life easy if you're trying to find any information on it.
You got to basically add to, like, you can't just search Misfits.
It's the Misfits show or the Misfits series.
British, UK, Asbo, something. I think I added in Asbo is why I, is how I got the stuff on DeviantArt, which I had to look up what that means, but we'll get to that. So yeah, Misfits was created by this guy, Howard Overman, who he wrote for a bunch of different shows, but this was his first actual series that he did himself. So it aired on, again, this is like, I don't know how Britishness works. It aired on this channel called E4 that's owned by Channel 4. And the only thing I know about them is they're the people who produced Trainspotting back in the day.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, apparently they have a history of making cool shit. You know? And this kind of fits with that Trainspotting vibe of, like, clearly low budget, but they used the budget
well.
Really well.
Oh, it's, like, just rewatching that, there were things you and I noticed that neither one of us realized the first time through.
Yeah, it all, especially, it's funny because as the show goes on, if we get deep enough in, like, it's such a strange show. But at this point, it's, like, really, it's like clockwork. Everything makes sense. Everything works together. And, like, oh, yeah, they...
And it's, the cinematography is well done. Like, everything about it is just perfect. I don't know why this isn't bigger than it is.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because I guess that's maybe proof that it's really not super popular, is that they always talked about a movie and it just never happened. Where if it was more popular, it probably would have happened.
Were they talking about a movie?
Yeah, lots. I guess the Howard Overman guy said that he wrote a script and some of the actors once in a while would be like, yeah, I'm coming back for the movie. And then the movie never happened. So I guess that's kind of proof right there. If it was super popular, they would have made the fucking movie.
If the two popular characters ever were on screen together as their characters, it would have made a great movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it would have been amazing.
Yeah, if they could get both Nathan and Rudy back for a movie, that'd be so good. So, yeah, and like, but it was like a respected show, at least in Britain, because it won a BAFTA, the British Academy Television Awards, in 2010 for Best Drama Series. So it got recognized on
also
some level.
At the same time, though, British humor is a lot more liberal than North American humor. Like, there's shit that goes on in this show that no way in hell it would ever be on American television.
You wanted to piss on her tits.
You wanted to piss on her tits.
Yeah, so the show premiered 2009. So this was like really early in like this whole superhero renaissance that we had really kind of started in 2008 with Iron Man. Superheroes were getting popular, but they weren't at like super massive peak popular. I guess though where this ties in more, like this doesn't even really relate to normal superhero stuff. This is more like Kick-Ass, you know, like that second wave where they started making weird meta sarcasm.
Anti against fucking superhero shit. Yeah.
Or, totally. Or like The Boys now. But yeah, this was way before all that shit. This was like the first of those of like, let's make a superhero thing that's like, even at the end, where he's just like, superhero shit, that happens in America.
Yeah, it happens in America. Give it a couple weeks, everything will be back to normal.
It's like, fuck superheroes, which I think is a good attitude to take about superheroes. So one thing I did on the Buffy podcast is I looked up the week the show came out, just what was popular that week. And I was like, let's do that again, because it's a good way to kind of place you in time, to kind of remind you what was going on at the time.
All right, number one song.
November 12th, 2009, just albums that came out that week. There was that band Pussifer? Is that how you say it?
Oh, yeah, Pussifer, fucking Maynard James Keenan shit.
And this was C is for blank, that album. But I never listened to that band. Did you ever listen to them much?
I've listened to a couple of their tunes only because I heard there was like a Transformers video game that had like one of their songs playing in the background. I was like, what the fuck is that song? Right. And that's how I found out about Pussifer.
Yeah, they were on my list of like, I should listen to that sometime, and I just never did. The other thing was Weezer's album Ratitude, which this was like at the point where I couldn't keep up with Weezer anymore because they put out so many fucking albums. So I don't even know which one that is. I think it had Pork and Beans on it. I don't know.
I don't know. I stopped listening to Weezer their second album, so.
That was peak Weezer. Because it was like, well, whatever, don't need to do a Weezer podcast, but yeah, there's so many fucking Weezer albums. For video games, this was the week that Modern Warfare 2 came out.
I've never played a fucking Modern Warfare game.
And then on the other side of the scale was Braid, the little indie puzzle game. And the top movie, I never saw this either, but it was that Christmas Carol movie that Robert Zemeckis made that had the stop motion people, or like the pseudo 3D, but it was like 3D, but with people. It's fucking weird and
right over my fucking head, dude.
So I guess I'll just kind of do a rundown of the plot and we'll just talk about the show through that.
Shit.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I assume anyone listening to this podcast knows what this show is, but if, I guess if you happen to just love the sound of our voices so fucking much. So this is, again, British show called The Misfits. I'm not quite sure where you can see it.
you have to steal. Actually,
because yeah, British stuff is just awkward. It's hard to get. I'll just be fucking honest. I just torrented it. There's a torrent of this show. So if you can find it streaming somewhere, feel free.
Where can I stream Misfits Season 1? Hulu. You can stream it on Hulu, apparently, folks.
So the basic premise of this show is it's just a bunch of juvenile delinquents who get superpowers and their adventures. So the show starts with them getting into their orange ASBO jumpsuits, and I had to look this up. So British right out the gate of like, what the fuck is ASBO? So it turns out it stands for Antisocial Behavior Order. That it only started in 1998, and it's just, some, you know, British law thing they passed of, like, when you get arrested. It's just basic community service or whatever. But, yeah, they call it ASBO, and I guess you got to wear an orange jumpsuit. And that's kind of cool, because that's, like, their superhero uniform.
Is they all wear ASBO.
And right away, you can just tell this is a British show. Like, right away, you got the chick in her bra and the close-up of her tits, and there's a guy smoking who's clearly a teenager. It's like, they just, and the music is awesome. So these are all things that are not common
in North American television. Yeah.
So we got our six main offenders. We got two girls and four guys, but don't get used to all four, because one of them is not going to live very long.
We both sat there, and dude wearing the hat comes on. We're both like, oh yeah, that dude, whatever happened to him? Oh yeah, I know something happens to him. I just don't know what.
And then the guy guiding their ASBO work, their punishment, is their probation worker, Tony, but don't get used to him either.
Yeah, poor Tony. Tony.
So none of the kids are taking this seriously, but especially Nathan. This guy, Nathan, he's just unbelievably mouthy. He never takes social cues. And even, yeah, watching it again, I'm like, God, this guy is a cunt. He's such a cunt.
The thing is like, throughout the series, he's in all sorts of shit, and everything he's in, he's a mouthpiece. And yet I'm just like, he's the best character in the show. He's totally the best character in the show. But like, if I were had to deal with him in real life, I would fucking hate this guy. I would like, I'm antisocial, but this guy fucking takes her to a whole new level.
And I do like though, how it's not like, it's always weird with guys like, say, like Chandler and Friends, right? Who's always telling jokes and no one ever laughs. Like, they don't react.
Yeah.
It's different with Nathan, where he's funny to us, but to the characters, like, they're constantly like, prick. Like, they just fucking hate this guy.
I don't know. I think if I were in that situation, so long as he wasn't directly fucking making fun of me, I would probably just die laughing and join in.
Yeah.
Like, there's lines he's got throughout the show that I've used in my day-to-day life, making fun of people, and they just don't know how to take it. The big one, we'll get into it when it actually happens, but I use the triple on a regular basis, but I usually use it relating to someone's mom. There'll be a callback to this episode at that point.
So we get the little origin story of how everybody ended up under ASBO. So there's Gary, he's the ball cap wearing guy, and he's just super angry all the time. So
obviously he did something violent.
Yeah, just got in a fight or something. Curtis is this Olympic hopeful track star who got caught with drugs.
A little bit of coke.
Kelly is just a chav who got in a fight.
Of course.
Simon the weird kid tried to burn someone's house down, which I'm like, yeah, I don't remember where this is all going, but
I'm,
I guess we'll
pretty
see.
Pretty sure it had something to do with him being a perv, some girl fucking situation, and he tried to burn a house down.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Because I do feel like it's a little weird too, watching this first one, where they kind of retcon a little bit. A lot of stuff about the characters is a little different later on.
Yeah.
But yes, it could be. Maybe it really is just a super creep. We don't learn about Alicia, the hot chick yet.
Hot chick yet.
But Nathan, I get done for eating some pick and mix.
There'll be a callback when we get to the pick and mix episode, because that's just fucking hilarious.
And that's another British thing. So yeah, basically pick and mix is just like, what do you call it here? Like,
it's like the 5 cent candy display at like old grocery stores.
Or like, isn't there Scoop and Save is kind of what our thing is called too. Or you just buy stuff kind of in bulk, or you just take, you pick and mix. You take a little of this, a little of that, and then they weigh it. And
apparently you can get pick and mix at anywhere in the UK. I don't know. I don't remember.
It seems to come up a lot. It's like, this is the weird shit, like a fancy dress is what they call Halloween. It's a fancy dress party. It's like, this is weird shit you pick up from watching British TV.
Costume party. Yeah.
But it's funny with Nathan, because it sounds like he's just being sarcastic.
But
it's really sort of true. It's kind of what happened. So then the weather just suddenly turns to shit, and these giant hailstones start smashing into, they smash into the probation worker's car.
Absolutely destroyed that dude's car.
The special effects are, they're not super great, but they're pretty good for a low budget. But this part is awesome. It just looks great. I don't know how they did this.
I think what they did is they just went to somewhere, bought a fuck ton of ice, and just dropped it off of a number of fucking high objects. That's all I can think. Because it just looks like an actual hailstorm. Like, it was really well done.
Yeah, and in general, this show, it just has an excellent style. Like, even though it's low budget, they do...
Well, they don't go above and beyond. They don't do anything fucking absolutely crazy. Like, there's no Avengers scene where fucking the Hulk picks up a fucking car and beats it against a wall. It's a large chunk of ice falls out of the sky.
Yeah.
So a chunk of ice falls out of frame into the street. Wow.
And the style of it, too, is like, this is how a lot of things looked in this era, but this show does it so well, where it's like the 24 frames a second, where everything looks a little, kind of makes it look a little cinematic, and especially like desaturation, where everything is just kind of gray. Like, everything looked like that at the time, but this show does it.
It sort of matches it, yeah.
Because like the thing I always think of, the example of it going bad, is I went through this phase of I read Treasure Island, so I'm like, let me go watch all the Treasure Island movies. And it's amazing because everyone is so appropriate to the era. There's the one from the 50s that's just like a Disney thing shot on a soundstage. The one from the 90s is like just kind of good and has Christian Bale in it when he was a little kid. But they put out one in 2012 that is the most 2012 thing I've ever seen, where it's got that desaturated look, everything's gray, and speed ramping, the shit Zack Snyder does. And it's like, why the fuck is Treasure Island a desaturated speed ramping thing? Like, it's like embarrassing. It's like everyone's gonna know this is from 2012.
Were there any Matrix shots?
Probably. I didn't finish it because it was so shit. But Misfits, on the other hand, like, it is of the era. You know it's from this time, but it's all done well. They don't overdo it. It's like they're not doing it because it's the cool thing. They're doing it because it's the
proper thing to do for the time.
Yeah. So this hailstorm gets way, way worse. These giant ice storms or stones are smashing into everything. And they try to get inside the community center, but a lightning bolt strikes and knocks everyone to the ground. And this is where they get their superpowers.
Here's the thing. When the lightning strikes, the screen goes, like, the background goes black. They're all flying through the air. And there's, like, lightning shot. Like, that's probably the cheesiest shot of the whole fucking show.
Yeah, I was thinking that like, the black background is all right in the super slow-mo. But then, the lightning bolts look like After Effects.
Like, yeah. It's like, hey, someone just fucking hand-drew these in. Fucking. But at the same time, like, it does sort of seem appropriate for the time this was filmed.
And in some ways too, it's nice that it's sort of, it's just a TV show from England. They don't have a ton of money. It's easy to give them a pass on stuff. It's like they're really trying their best. They tried their best to make it look cool. So they really never explain why
there's a storm
and why
it gave everyone superpowers.
I'm kind of okay with that. Yeah, because I feel like once it's overrated to explain things, because like a bad explanation is worse than no explanation. Like, I always think of, Night of the Living Dead. He didn't want to have an explanation. He just wanted it to be happening. But the producers or whatever, whoever gave him money, was like, we can't do that. Like, people are going to freak out. So there's a news story that just talks about this comet, the radioactive comet passing over.
Flew overhead at the right time.
So then I kind of liked how in Dawn of the Dead, he kind of fixes that, where he's just like, my voodoo grandma told me when there was no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth, which makes no sense, but it's just like, that's the nice way of saying, who the fuck knows? Who cares? Like, we got bigger problems right now. Or, like, it's weird I haven't watched a ton of The Walking Dead, but, like where they get into a bit of like the CDC and finding the origin of the virus.
Who cares?
Yeah, because what are you going to do? Cure the world? Who gives a shit?
Like, well, think about it. 95% of the world is already fucking dead. So it really doesn't matter if you cure the world.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think it's kind of pointless in some ways to get into the origins of stuff. So yeah, and this one, as far as I know, they never do. And like, yeah, who cares? It's superheroes.
No, they never do. If I recall correctly, there's no explanation for why the storm gave people powers.
And then, yeah, the evidence of these people's powers, it starts showing up immediately where first guy's probation worker, Tony, just starts showing this...
spazzing out.
Yeah, weird aggression that he can't control. Gary doesn't seem like he got any powers because he was inside.
Gary was inside taking a shit and having a smoke.
But I guess we'll never know for sure if he got powers because...
he disappears real quick.
Yeah, actually, I guess it happens right here because... after everyone else leaves for the day, Tony chops him up with an axe.
She starts hearing shit before she leaves, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's right. So Kelly can hear Alicia thinking these insults about her chavness.
I still can't get over the whole chav thing.
Oh, and then I was going to say, too, like, where it's weird with their powers, like, where I feel like they...
It sort of matches their personality.
And they haven't quite figured out the level yet, because then when Kelly goes home, she can hear her dog's thoughts, which I don't think that ever happens again, right? That she can hear animals?
I don't think she can hear animals anymore after that either, but, like... we'll see when we watch the show.
Because I think it's just a dumb joke for this episode. Because, like, animals, I mean, that's the thing of, like...
She hears her dog talking about, thinking about, oh, I licked your face and I just licked my balls. And she gets all grossed out.
I'm going to go fuck that poodle down the street. But there's that thing, you know, where they say, like, even if a lion could speak English, you couldn't talk to them. Like, they wouldn't...
Yeah, it wouldn't speak in terms we could understand.
So, yeah, I feel like this is a one-time joke that they don't delve into of, like... So I guess animals are, I don't know, it's just a dumb...
Animals are just as creepy as we are? Nah.
Nathan gets home and he finds out his mom has kicked him out because she's trying to date a guy and get, you know, some kind of relationship off the ground. And he's just a huge cunt to everyone all the time. And yeah, none of his friends will take him in. He's calling them and he's like, hey, how's the herpes treating you?
How's the herpes treating you? And buddy just fucking like hangs up on him or something like... It goes through, like, there's a brief, I don't know, 30-second spree where he's calling different people, and every person he calls, he's just a total dick to until they get to the end of it, and he's just like, yeah, man, I'll be all right. Don't worry about it.
And even those moments where it's like you feel a little sorry for him because his mom kicked him out and he's got nowhere to go, but he's just such a fucking asshole. Yeah. He's just an awesome character, though. I love him. Oh, and this is something, too, I'll throw in as we go, is the awesome song alert. Whenever there's an awesome song I recognize, I might as well mention it.
What was playing?
So then Kelly is with her boyfriend, and this is where she realizes more and more that she can hear people's thoughts, is he thinks that she might be... Yeah, he's like, I just want to get her tits out. And he thinks, like, I wonder if she's cheating on me and stuff. She's way more experienced than I am. And she gets all pissed. But yeah, the song that's playing, it's called You Got the Love by Francis and the Machine. It's like a cover of an older song. And it's just a good song. So it's just playing in the background.
One thing we haven't mentioned about Kelly, though, is the rest of them speak proper English, but she's got this weird-ass fucking accent where it's like, what? I have no idea. Like, we thought we should just have subtitles on the screen just for her because you can't fucking understand a word she's saying.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And actually, yeah, it's good that you brought that up right here because, yeah, she hits her boyfriend because he's thinking about her cheating on him, but he didn't say anything, so he's just like, you're fucking crazy, I'm getting out of here. And she's like, where are you going? I fucking love ya!
I fucking love ya! And it's not even love you, it's lawyer!
I was thinking, like, I'll probably keep track of just, like, what's my favorite line of the episode, and I just assumed it would always be Nathan.
But no, she's it's just her accent, we'll fucking win. Maybe 20% of the time.
And that line is just, man, that one is just, it's just awesome. And she's kind of like, she is sort of the main character too of this episode. She really is the one tying together, because I guess she's the first one who realizes she has powers and stuff. But speaking of the actual star, Nathan, so he, since he has nowhere to go, he just crashes at the community center.
And breaks in.
Yeah, and no one notices he's there. It's just his house now. And it really works good because it really helps solidify, like, the central location is just...
It's going to be the community center throughout the series, yeah.
And it makes it work extra good that he's just always there. So why not? Like, it just really sets... And again, with the low budget thing, it's like, yeah, like, even though this crazy thing has happened to them and they all have superpowers now, they don't run off and have adventures. They just keep showing up for community service.
Just deal with day-to-day life.
So he's staying at
the rec center.
At the rec center. He wakes up, goes to take a piss, and there's blood fucking everywhere.
When their probation officer finds Gary, he axes through a bathroom stall and murders him.
Pops him the fuck up. So yeah, so now
there's blood everywhere.
And there's the giant axe hole in the
It's not even a hole. It's like three quarters of the door is fucking gone, and Nathan didn't notice.
Yeah, and he just takes a piss and just like, whatever. Then so everyone shows up for their day's work, and there's this huge graffiti that says "I'm going to kill you" on the wall. that Tony wrote this, but it's not clear at this point if Tony even knows that he's doing this stuff or if it's just his rage is taking him over. Simon finds Gary's bloody ball cap and is like, "Isn't this?" But no one's paying attention to him, and that's when his powers trigger, is that he's just invisible. And yeah, no one notices him. And again, this is one of those things I'm not sure if, like, he's literally yelling at people, yeah, can't you hear me?
Whether they retcon it or not. But like, yeah, he can't be heard, can't be seen, can't be noticed.
Yeah. And I think with the can't be heard thing, I think it could just be a case of they just don't bring it up. Like when he's invisible in the future, I think he just doesn't talk. So they don't have to reference whether people can hear him or not. Cause that was weird. I'm like, they can't hear him. How does that work? Yeah. But whatever.
Well, it's like, shit. I remember there was a game that I used to play back in the day, a tabletop game, Vampire the Masquerade, where one type of vampire has this ability where it's not that they're invisible, it's just that they can affect people around them to not notice them.
Right, so I guess that's what's happening here.
So they'll walk down the street in the middle of the evening with a ton of people there, but people will just part and walk around them without anyone noticing.
Right, they just don't
know. They just don't know they're there.
So yeah, and this is when we start to piece together that yeah, these powers are related to the person. So Tony, right away you could tell he had some rage issues. He's just so mad at these kids.
Just repressed anger, yeah.
So, yeah, this is just his super-powered, insane version of that. Kelly's worried about what people think about her because everyone thinks she's a fucking chav, so now she gets the ability to hear what people think about her. And Simon's worried he's just ignored. He's just off to the side. No one cares about him, and now he's invisible.
Now nobody cares about him because they don't know he's there.
And we were talking about, too, like, as the show goes on, it's so weird how the different arrays of powers get so random and so bizarre. And I was surprised to see this where I'm like, oh yeah, they all make sense in this first batch of powers.
I don't know about Nathan's, but everyone else's seems to make sense.
Yeah, because like we don't find out about his for a bit.
Until the end of the season.
But I think it is just that he's such a cunt to everyone because he's trying to protect himself, you know? So it kind of works for him too, where he's protected. Maybe. But yeah, it takes a little while to get into his, but we'll figure it out. So Kelly keeps hearing thoughts, and she's finally like, I gotta say something to someone. Like, has anyone noticed anything? What's going on with this? Has anyone had something strange happen? And Nathan's like, yeah, after the storm, I had this strange tingling sensation. So awesome.
That's another kicker for probably best line of the episode.
And then Alicia finally tells her origin story of why she got arrested, but it's just that she's a party girl. So she got arrested for being four times over the limit. Isn't that like you're gonna die amounts of liquor? Isn't that a lot of fucking really? Like I don't really know how that works, but
when you think about it, two beer, you're over the limit.
Oh, so the limit's actually pretty low.
Yeah, the limit's actually like it's 2.5 beer should put you over the limit. So four times that would be me yesterday.
This is where probation worker Tony, he's flipped into full psycho mode. Like he's just been getting crazier and crazier. So he chases Kelly into the center and she's trying to convince everyone that the probation worker's gone crazy. But the only one who believes her is Simon because he observed himself invisible. He knows something is going on. So Curtis opens the door. Kelly just gets murked immediately. The probation worker just kills her.
I totally forgot that she got murked. And then was like, oh yeah, well, fuck. And then you notice Curtis's power, which is Curtis can travel back in time. So Curtis sees this murder go down and just whoop, rewinds time to just before he opens the door.
And it's so cool because, yeah, like he's arguably got the most powerful power that he can completely revert the entire world.
Yeah.
And how they balance it out is like he has to be in some kind of state of extreme
shock
or agitation or something really fuck needs to happen.
He can't control it at all. Like, I don't think any of them can control their powers, really.
Right. But his, I guess, like, yeah, he definitely, I think like Simon, like, gets to a point where he can decide to be invisible. Yeah. But yeah, Curtis can never decide to revert time or whatever. And yeah, he reverses time and goes back to just before Kelly died. So now he's on board too. He's like, okay, this is true. Like,
this is going to happen. I watched it happen. All of this happened before.
And I guess too, and again, this is how his power is, obviously, that he
wants to go back in time to fix his cocaine issue.
Yeah, because he fucked his whole life. Like, he was on the way to go into the Olympics, maybe.
He was a star athlete, and he was doing amazing, and then all of a sudden he made one mistake, and if he could go back and fix that mistake, bam.
Oh, and I like this too, where there's always cell phone issues, where in old movies and old shows, you never have to worry about a cell phone.
Oh, they took the cell phones away.
Yeah, Tony took their cell phones. I'm like, oh, that's a nice touch, because that's a constant problem, especially when you're trying to write stuff, where it's like either you got to set it in 1994 or you have to explain why the characters don't have cell phones.
No signal.
Yeah, or cell phones have to be a major part of the story. Like, it's just weird. Like, you can never ignore cell phones now when you write anything, and it's just odd. But it's true. I mean, we're all on our phones all the time. It's like just a part of life. So yeah, probation worker took their phones, so they can't call the police. And then as they're running away, Nathan opens the door, but now because Curtis delayed them,
they know that that Tony's gonna kill them.
Yeah, so
because he's wandering around with this large piece of metal that looks like a scythe.
So it changes things just enough that they can slam the door closed before he can come in and fucking kill them all. So they're running away, and Nathan slips on some blood, and they open this locker, and Gary's fucking corpse is in there. So now they're pretty much everyone at this point is now on board that something is fucking going on.
Yeah, something is brutally wrong.
And this is the point too where, yeah, they see Gary's corpse, and Curtis is like, to Alicia, is like, don't look, touches her arm. And this is where we learn about
her power kicks in, yeah.
Where again, she's just like concerned that maybe people only like her because she's super hot. So her power is when people touch her, they uncontrollably want to fuck her.
Want to have sex with her. And I forget what he said. He just says he's going to shag her rotten.
Yeah, his stuff he says isn't as bad, but he is about to pull his dick out.
Yeah, he's about to pull his dick out. And then Simon touches her and claims that he wants to piss. I'm going to piss out over your tits. And I thought, yeah, okay. So, Keith, maybe that's another contender for best line of the show.
And this is, too, where I love British shows, because this is one of those like lines that they can just easily walk, where for our shows, either it would be like you're never allowed to swear and everything has to be PG-13, or like we do have a lot of shows that are like HBO shows, but it's always like in your face. It's like Deadwood or something where they say fuck a million times and it's like, hey, we're an adult show. Where it's weird with British shows where this is just a teen show. It's just a show for young people, but they just throw in, I'm going to piss on your tits, and it's not that big a deal.
It's just standard. It's like shit that would happen in day-to-day conversation.
Yeah, and it's just so nice that...
Although I don't know too many times I've told women I will piss on their tits.
Yeah, but is this so nice that you could put that in a show where that would be such an extreme thing in North American show? I mean, the word cunt in general is like, it's just funny when they say it. It's just like, stop being a cunt. Where like here, you just, it's the worst word you can say.
Yeah, you say cunt and women just immediately stop talking to you.
So that's one thing I love too, yeah, about this show. Is like, I like that about British stuff in general. But man, this show, it's perfectly hits that line of like, it's ludicrously offensive, but it doesn't feel like it. It's just fun.
No, it's just fun. And it's average British humor, which... love it.
Yeah, it's nice. Thank God that somebody... Because it's like one of those things where... Like, we're so in the middle in Canada where we're obviously a lot like America because we're next door. But I feel like we're a lot like...
Britain.
Like UK too. Like, we have the Queen on our money and shit. And yeah, it's like until you see a foreign show where they don't care about swearing, it's when you realize, like, man, America really is, like... They're so repressed. It's so tiresome because we're just always... coded in that, but we're like right in the middle. Canada's in a weird spot, you know.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, really kind of the best of both worlds. So probation worker Tony breaks through the door. Kelly knocks him out with a paint can, but he's not quite dead yet. He like one more thing.
They notice that the back of his head is caved in and yet he's still trying to kill them. So Kelly stomps the ever-living fuck out of the back of his skull.
Chavs out while saying, I am not a chav, and just stomps his brains in. So yeah, she just fucking kills the guy, which is justified because he was going to kill them. But yeah, it's so funny that this begins like, yeah, it's like the most...
The running joke of the series is them, they have to dispose of their probation workers.
Yeah, if you're a probation worker, you're fucked in this world. Don't get this job.
I still think the best is when they're trying to plan how they're going to do it. And Nathan's like, well, we'll just throw their bodies in these wheelchairs we got here. We're just a bunch of probation people trying to take a couple specials for a walk. And I was like, oh my God, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's so good. Because they got these crazy superpowers. They're already offenders, you know. There's this dead kid in the locker. They know no one's ever going to believe them. No one's going to understand these circumstances. So, yeah, they're like, we just got to bury these bodies and pretend we don't know what happened.
They drag them to an overpass, dig a hole, tore the bodies.
And that thing, too, of just like, you know, just us taking a couple of specials up for a walk. It's so perfect because that's another thing where we're just so stuck in a weird way where... It's like, I don't even know what I can say on a podcast. Because, like, when we're just talking amongst ourselves, I'll just fucking say it, whatever.
Oh, say the word retarded. Yeah. I dare you.
We say it all the time, and it's just funny. It's just a funny thing to say. But, yeah, if you say it,
grew up with it
in the world now, yeah, it's like you're the worst person in the world.
I get called out at work. I work with a bunch of young kids. And I say the word retarded on a regular basis. And they all just like, you can't say that. I'm just like, I just did. Like, fuck off. It's in my vocabulary. Shut up.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just so obviously just a funny thing to say. They're not trying to offend people or whatever. And again, that's what's so nice with like the British
humor. They can say whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, it feels so good. It feels so good to not be all hung up about it. It's such a nice feeling. Thank you, England. You know, thank you for holding it down, keeping it real. So, yeah, they go up and hide these bodies. They bury them under an overpass thing near the probation worker place, the community center. And this is also extra good because, obviously, like I was saying, they stick to the community center because they don't have a budget and they got to have just a central location. Yeah. But it works plot-wise, too, where they're all, like, this is why they're united. They're not just like, oh, we all have superpowers. Let's all just hang out and be super.
They're all offenders and have to fucking work off their time.
And they have to hide this. They all have this common secret.
They now have to hide the fact that they've murdered a probation worker and they buried the corpse of a murder victim.
Yeah, so it really works. It all just feels more or less legit. Of like, I get why these people are a little group now. Because, it's like weird with some superhero stuff. It's just like, oh, we all just were around and we all have superpowers.
We have to fight for justice. Fuck that. Yeah.
So Nathan realizes, too, at this point, everyone has a power except for him. So this will be his thing of trying to figure out what his power is.
Yeah, like...
Should we do future spoilers? Like, I mean, whatever. I guess maybe people... In case you haven't seen the show, I guess we'll just wait till it gets there, but...
In this episode, he's like, well, someone always can fly, and he's trying to jump off of chairs and shit. And, like, in future episodes, we'll bring it up, Nathan trying to figure out his powers. But, like, I know there's scenes of him trying to figure out his power that are just hilarious.
And it is neat too. They kind of work it in of just like different little things where everybody, if you're watching him,
always trying to figure out what he can do.
And like if you're paying attention to things that happen, it's like, well, let's do a little, we won't be super direct, but like there's a future episode about Curtis's powers and going back in time. And it's just weird situations where everyone's dead except Nathan. And it's like, why didn't he die in this alternate timeline?
There's that.
There's also little hints.
Well, we'll spoil this too. He's sitting there in one episode on the roof of the rec center, fucking staring at like a fucking paint can or a bottle or something. And he's like, looks like he's going to shit himself because he's straining so hard and he's trying to move it with his mind. Just like dumb shit like that happens throughout the series.
So this is another cool song alert. It's this song Lonely Soul by the band Uncle.
I remember Uncle.
It's like a DJ project. And the only reason I know about them is because Tom York did the vocals for one of the songs. But it was a really good album. And this one song, they just play it during this montage where everybody is... that's the other thing. British TV is great at cool montages. And this is just like everyone kind of reckoning with what's happened to them, where Curtis is compulsively watching the tapes of his old...
Him running, yeah.
His old track meets and wishing this shit didn't happen. Simon is at a bar, invisible, and you can see that he's not reflected in the glass. And
that was actually something we didn't mention.
Yeah.
Is things we didn't notice the first time through is when Simon first discovers his power... He's running around the locker room they're all getting changed in, and he's screaming at everybody to notice him. And they all leave while he's left standing in the locker room, and he's standing in front of a mirror facing away from it. And he does this thing when he goes invisible, his head fucking spazzes out. And I didn't notice it the first time I watched through it, and I don't think Keith did either.
No, I didn't.
Is he does it again, and he fades back in reality, and his reflection appears in the mirror. We actually rewound and had to watch it again. I was like, oh my God, I never noticed that.
And I love shit like that too. Like that attention to detail is so good. Like just that little thing that he's not in the mirror and
not
then he
in
is.
The mirror and then bam, he slowly fades back in. It was sort of cool.
Yeah, it took us multiple viewings and years to notice, but well, I love when that shit.
Like I've watched this series maybe 3 times. This would be my 4th time watching this episode, and this is the first time I noticed that.
Yeah, I don't know how many times. I don't know if I ever watched the whole thing through. I might have watched it twice through, but I would just go back to episodes all the time and like watch little
bits and pieces.
So yeah, we're in the sadness montage. It's Curtis watching his tapes, Simon hanging out at the bar all invisible, although he's kind of into it. He seems to like that no one can see him. Nathan goes back to his mom's house and is considering should he try to talk his way back in, but he sees her with her new boyfriend, and he's like, fuck it, I'll just go live at the fucking community center. I was going to say, too, with the cool song alert, the cool song shit, I'm going to just put a song at the end of every episode, because why not? Unless if you're listening to this on YouTube, we're just going to roll right into episode 2, but for the podcast version, I'll put a cool song at the end. So I'm going to put that uncle. I'm going to put that uncle song.
Yeah, I would say put the theme, that being the first episode.
Yeah,
because it's amazing.
So yeah, we didn't actually mention that. Yeah, I'll start the podcast with that too. That's a good example of like how good whoever chose the music for this show. I never heard of the band. They're called the Rapture, I think.
I never heard that song before, but it was like this theme song is fucking awesome. It's bang on,
and it's even perfect for a theme song because the actual song is kind of half shitty, like the verses and that part kind of sucks, but then the guitar lick is so fucking good. It's like that is the perfect theme song. Like I'll start the podcast with that, because that song fucking rules. And then whatever song is cool in the episode, I'll put it at the end. So then Tony's fiance shows up, and she's understandably concerned about his disappearance. No one seems to care about Gary.
And she is probation worker too.
So she's asking them like, what happened? Like, why did he just disappear?
And Nathan, that is, oh God.
Like, this is how much of a cunt this guy is. This dude is dead, and he knows the guy's dead.
And he talks about how Tony and Gary were in I went to the bathroom and take a piss, and Tony and Gary were in there buck naked. And Tony had Gary by the hair like this, and he was just doing them. Like, oh my God.
To this guy's fiance, that these two people he knows are dead, graphically describing them having gay sex, and it's like they clearly just ran off together to be happy. And in this day and age, who are we to get in the way of their illicit gay love? It's just like, what a fucking done. But it totally works, because she's like, I'm not talking to these people
and
anymore.
She just, like, puts on the ugliest look ever and walks off. Same time, no one knows in episode 1 that she is Tony's fucking fiance.
Yeah, and this is where it'll be good to watch again, because I know all the probation workers just die, and I know, so she's no way she's going to survive, but I don't really remember
how she died.
Yeah, or what goes on with all that.
I know bits and pieces of her thing. Like, I remember some stuff, but I don't remember how she died. That's how fucking bad the probation worker situation is we don't remember how they all die.
Yeah, there's so many. So then we get our final big power shot. I do like, too, the setting of this place. This community center is kind of on this sort
of... It's right on the water.
Yeah, it looks really...
Like, it looks... Like, fuck, I'd go and do community service there.
Yeah, it seems all right. So they're hanging out on the roof, and Simon says, like, with these powers, like, maybe they're meant to be superheroes, and...
Everyone just laughs at him and calls him a dick.
Yeah, because it's nice British TV, and they're just sort of sarcastic in general, and they're just like, fuck that. And, you know, Nathan's like, this sort of shit only happens in America. So that's basically it for the first episode. One thing that I thought was kind of interesting that I noticed just while I'm taking notes, because you would never notice while you're watching, but it just, because I'm trying to write down what everyone's name is, and it was killing me.
That they didn't mention Alicia's name.
Alicia the hot chick and Simon the weird kid.
Simon the dweeb.
They just don't say their names, because in the credits, I finally was like, all right, that's their name, so I could write it into my notes. But it's kind of neat too, because like that is a tough part when you're introducing people in shows. Like, it's so artificial when people say their names.
Well, like, throughout the episode, Simon's referred to as weird kid and pervert, and just...
In real life, like, even, I don't know, I wonder when the last time was that I just said, hey, Dan, you know, because it's just like, hey, I don't have to say your name, you know? So there's no good way to do it. And I think, like, also they had extra people. They had to introduce Gary and Tony. So I think they did a really good job of, like, they had to introduce Kelly's name because she is sort of the focus of this episode.
The main character in the first episode, yeah.
They have to mention Nathan because he's just up in everyone's shit fucking all the time. And yeah, if you're... just to keep the names... You know, the burden off of the viewer of having to remember all these names.
They don't mention them all.
And that was a good two to pick, because all you really need to know at this point is Simon is a weirdo and Alicia's fucking hot, and that's it. Although, on the other hand, I was a guest on the Horror versus Reality podcast a little while ago.
Yeah, you were telling me.
We were watching this movie called The Loved Ones, this Australian movie. And in that case, it was killing me because they don't say the main character's name for like 40 fucking minutes. And so you got to hit that balance. And yeah, just another, it's a small thing, but it's just everything about the show, like any, that's what I love about this show, is like...
It all seems very well thought out.
Yeah, like it's always so tiresome when you, like if you want to be a real dick about it or do it, like to do a podcast, you got to delve deep into something. And it's annoying when you start pushing on something and it just falls over. Where I love that you can pick any stupid little thing about this show and just push and push and push, and you can find a reason that it works.
On it?
Yeah, and like you don't, it never falls apart. Or if it does, it's like on purpose because it's supposed to be stupid. You know? I love this show so much. So yeah, I guess that's our first episode of Is Misfits the Best? You can tell from my attitude that I think it is.
Is the best, but it's damn good. Like, I'm so glad that it got introduced to me, and like I'm pretty sure the second time I watched it was with you.
And that's a good example too of just, I guess, with the weird name of just to try to make this podcast findable is because, you know, again, when you search Misfits, there's so many things. I was thinking of calling this podcast Is Misfits the Best British TV Show? But that's way too long. But it would help you know what it is. Like, okay, it's a British TV show. It's called Misfits. I just wish there was an easier way to package
this. You can stream it on Hulu.com.
So I guess our plan is, because again, it's a British show. It ran like 5 seasons, but that's only 30-some episodes. And this season in particular is only 6. So I was thinking, again, my Buffy podcast, we only made it through season 1 and we gave up. Let's aim for that. Let's at least get through season 1 and see how we're feeling about this dumb podcast, because it's only 6 episodes. We can totally do that. But I mean, probably we'll just do the whole goddamn thing, because it's really not that many
episodes. It's not that much.
And it's just fun to talk about, because it fucking rules. So I don't know, how should we sign off? Got any social deets? Like, I don't know, I guess if you want to find me, I'm Keith McNally on Twitter. I don't know, you're on Instagram or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Silence Says on Twitter. SYLANCE.
So yeah, I don't know. Send us a tweet if you give a shit or whatever. I don't know. Fucking. Oh, I guess I'll just say my website's keithcourage.com. Just go there, find my info, whatever. Send in shit or don't. Do whatever you want.
Have a good one, guys.
Yeah. So... what happens now? Is this it? We're gonna be like this forever?
What if we're meant to be like superheroes?
You lot, superheroes. No offense, but in what kind of fucked up world would that be allowed to happen?
I did not sign up for that.
Superheroes? I love this guy, you prick.
What if there's loads of people like us all over town?
No, that kind of thing only happens in America.
there's a time when the cord of life should be cut, my friends. I believe there's a time when the cord can be cut and this vision ends. But I'm gonna die in a place that don't know my name. And I'm gonna cry in a space that don't hold my name.
Going back now, man. You're just as screwed as the rest of us. You're black and famous. You're probably more screwed.
I shouldn't even be here.